shows lean left, some lean right, but we lean local and business. This is North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Bonelli. For the next hour, we will celebrate the businesses in our area and the people that run them. Find us on Facebook at North Georgia Business Radio X and online at NorthGeorgiaBusinessRadioX.com. Now, here's Phil Bonelli.
I fought the law, but the law won. Welcome to the show. And I'm sorry you once again had to hear us kick off with a song by yours truly, Phil Bonelli. Happy to be here as your host. Today on the show, we have Teston and Burris, attorneys at law. Fellas, welcome to the show. The Teston and Burris specifically are Clint and Jason. When did y'all begin your law firm?
Well, we founded the firm in 2019. It was in May. It's funny that you start the show asking us that question, because our decision to, you know, start our own firm is a little unorthodox. We had worked together at another firm. That's how Clint and I got to know each other and became friends. But he started his own practice in 2018. It was just him. And I had just had my first child. I was at home on maternity or paternity leave with my wife. And in the second day of having a two-year-old baby, I told my wife, I said, I don't want to go back to work. I want to be my own boss. And she was like, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to quit next week if Clint will take me.
So I had called
Clint and asked him if he'd go to lunch. And he said, sure, man. I hadn't seen you in a while, because he had, like I said, he had left. And you know, we had lunch, got to talking, kind of feeling him out, and asked him if he was busy. And he was like, yeah, I need some help. And I was like, really? Because I'm looking to, you know, do my own thing as well. I'd like to start a firm with you. And so came home that day and told my wife, I'm not going back to work. And she's like, we have a 5-day-old child, you know? And so that's how that started.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited about it. When he called me to lunch, that's what I was hoping he was asking about,
not just trying
to get a sandwich. So that actually worked out pretty well. I definitely needed it. And it's also good to have somebody else. I mean, working by yourself is cool in some ways, but having somebody to bounce ideas off of, to be able to work together, it's definitely an improvement.
Definitely.
You know, I love going to work every day, not just to have a colleague, but Clint's one of my best friends now, and it's just fun to be there with him.
It happens when you spend about 60 hours a week together.
Yeah. 60.
It can, or it can go the other direction.
Yeah. I tell, you know, myself, I joke a lot of times, you know, to clients, if I can convince my wife, two things, if I could convince my wife to marry me and Clint to be my partner, I can convince the jury of anything for you.
There you go. I like it.
But it's been a great partnership. May of 2019, so we're coming up on 5 years. We're about to hit the 5-year mark.
Yep. Well, a few things that stand out to me on that. It is great to have a partner or partners, but it can also be bad. And partnerships are tough, but this was when it was a known, you knew what you're getting into because you'd worked with each other before. So you at least had a pretty good idea of each other's styles and that sort of thing.
Well, that was a good benefit. I mean, seeing that we both were willing to work late or work weekends or do things like that, knew that it wasn't, because yes, I've seen the partnerships where one person will work and the other one doesn't do anything. And then that is typically a good way to end a partnership. But yeah, we both knew that we could handle it. We got along. So yeah, that was a good plan.
You're equally yoked.
Yes, right.
It's you two. You're the attorneys. What other staff do you have? Because it takes more than just the attorneys to make the thing run.
Right. So we have three staff members. They're great. One unique thing about our staff is that all three of them are bilingual.
Hmm.
One of the, you know, we like to say that we produce homegrown results. Our practice is focused mainly in the North Georgia area. In the North Georgia area, specifically Gainesville, has quite a large Spanish-speaking community. So having we have two paralegals and one legal assistant, and the ability for them to communicate with the entire community really, you know, gives us that, when we say homegrown results, it's accurate. We can produce and serve the entire community.
I love that. And you're, you know, at the heart of it, you as attorneys are there to make sure that people get the due representation under the law. And if you do not speak the prevailing language, it's harder for that to occur. So how wonderful that you all help those folks who might have a more difficult time in the legal system because of language barriers.
Yeah, the courts will provide interpreters when you're actually in court, which is great. It's a wonderful service. But be able to meet, plan, call people, all the things you have to do before you're in the courtroom definitely gives us a benefit there for our clients.
And I can see, you know, it gives them comfort level knowing that their attorney can communicate with them. They're not having to rely on, well, I didn't really, I'm going into court. I don't know what he's going to do because I haven't really been able to talk to him. Or that they have to have a family member come and, you know, translate for them that, that they may not want to be involved in those conversations. So it's a great asset that they have, that they're bilingual. We do personal injury, family law, and criminal defense, and our staff has just as much experience in as, you know, as attorneys as in as paralegals as we do. Anna, our personal injury paralegal, has almost 15 to almost close to 20 years of experience in that, and we just have a great staff that inject a personal interest in making sure that our clients' needs are met. And that's the what I would say. Forget about how good they are at their job. They care.
I love that. We, you know, on this show, the majority of folks we have on are business owners. And it doesn't matter if it's law, if it's trimming trees, if it's making speakers or growing peaches, serving customers is at the root of every story that you're going to find. And how can we best serve our customers? And that's wonderful to be able to have employees that do that. You all are obviously very passionate about doing that. And you're serving your clients in a way that is of the most critical need to them. Whether it's criminal law or family law, these are major life-changing things that's a big responsibility that y'all have. So on those three emphases, personal injury, family law, criminal defense, those are fairly different from each other. How do you land on those three and how do you balance those different aspects of your firm?
So it's a lot. I mean, all of them, we always say we're trial lawyers. So you can always think of those as basically, if something doesn't go well, those things result in probably the most trials that are in front of the state and superior courts. And that's kind of how we got into it. You know, I had my experience at the public defender's office when I first got out of law school. So I had a lot of jury trials there. I started working with other local firms after I got out of that and was doing more of the family law. But again, lots of hearings, lots of trials. And then we had some experience with personal injury and workers' compensation. And since we've gotten more of those cases, we're just getting more and more experience there. But all of them can result in trials. And that's what we're really good at is being in court. We're there. I mean, it feels like we're there every day. I guess it'd probably be more true to say we're there almost every day. But, you know, we're just experienced trial attorneys, so we can handle all of those. And then we're really focusing a lot and getting better at the personal injury, workers' comp, and really gaining experience in those and having more trial experience in those areas also.
Well, and that's a fun thing about having your own firm is you all get to pick and choose. What do we want to focus on? What are areas we personally want to grow in? When I think of a trial attorney, you know, I think of Matlock and what I've seen on TV because there's a lot of drama there on movies and things. What is it that you think are the keys to being a successful trial attorney?
You're absolutely right. When you think of trial attorney, you think of a TV show because that's the exciting part. They wouldn't put it on TV if it weren't exciting, as you know, opposed to a real estate closing attorney where it's just paperwork mostly. But a good trial attorney isn't just the attorney who's good in front of the jury or in front of the judge. A lot of times it's being able to get a result that the client is okay with or more than satisfied with or loves without getting to trial. And we want the other side to be afraid to go to trial against us. So a result that happens outside of trial is often a better one at times. There are unknowns to trial, but you have to be a good trial lawyer in front of that jury, in front of that judge, in order to get results that prevent you from having to ever go through that.
I love that. Prevention is the best cure.
Yeah.
When we come back from this break, I want to dive more into that. I imagine even the part in the courtroom is a fraction of all that goes on behind the scenes. We'll pick up with that after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. Thank you. Dare to prepare. If you want to be successful in anything in your business, whether it's an important sales presentation, whether it's an interview of a potential new leader in your business, or whether it's a criminal trial, preparation is key. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I am your host, Phil Benelli, here with Clint and Jason of Teston and Burris. Is it attorneys at law? Is that the
law firm?
I like that. Teston and Burris Law Firm. Welcome back, fellas. If you're just joining us, be sure to go back and listen to the first segment, which I found very enlightening. And we were covering how, at the end of the day, Teston and Burris, what they are excellent at and known for is being great trial lawyers. But a lot of what makes a successful trial lawyer is their ability to basically scare the other side into not even going to trial. Let's talk about the preparation and what goes on behind the scenes, because I imagine that it's really like an iceberg where what you see is just a little fraction of everything that goes on for successful trial or settlement outside of trial.
Sure. So in all trials, I mean, you're going to be putting a lot of effort in throughout the case from when you first meet with the client till you're at that point where the decision has to be made of whether you're going to trial or whether you're actually in the trial. Talking to witnesses, grabbing records, really reviewing everything that's gone on, you'll see a difference in attorneys. I know you were talking about Matt Locke before, but you'll see a difference in attorneys who, in real life, have actually looked at everything and studied it really closely to the point of basically being able to memorize the folder, the file, the case, everything they've had with the client, versus the ones who have just picked it up and are just trying to roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
The level of familiarity with what they're presenting is just entirely different. So you can tell that when you're actually there watching these things happen, and people will know that, and people will recognize and remember the level of work that you put into it. And that's how we really try to differentiate ourselves in some of the trial work, is that we will know your case, we will care about your case, and we'll present it in the best possible way. And that lets the other side know a lot of the times that they are aware that this is going to happen and will deal with us, hopefully on the front end in a positive way. But if not, we'll always be ready.
I love that. So you're preparing with excellence and thoroughness for each case, and that's going to serve that case well. But then you're building up a reputation where the opposing side knows Teston and Burris is going to bring it, and they're not winging it. And so they deal with you and your clients differently because they know they're with well-prepared attorneys.
Exactly. If it were, for example, a personal injury case, let's use a car crash for the example. Insurance company makes an offer to settle these cases. They're going to know who the other attorney is. They have a kill folder, if you will, on who the other attorneys is, and immediately the person you decide to hire, the law firm you decide to hire, is automatically going to get you a different number. I can tell you, you gave the iceberg example, and that's the perfect example. A trial might last a day, and 5 to 8 hours total. There's a lot more hours that go into getting ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
Clint said that the attorneys who prepare, you can tell they've almost memorized the file. He's the best at out-preparing and out-working the opponent. When we first started working together, I came in late one night, and he was typing. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm retyping the transcript. And that was crazy to me from a previous hearing. Why are you doing that? He said, well, if I retype the transcript, I will remember it. And so to go through hours of transcript of something that's already on paper, and he just retypes it, and he memorizes it, and he can tell you on what page and what line the other side said something in a deposition or a hearing. So it really is a lot of work on the front end. And if the other side knows you're willing to put in the work, you're going to get often better results prior to a trial.
I love that. And isn't it more fun and fulfilling to be doing things with excellence? I imagine when you are walking into a trial, or just a case is initiating, it hasn't gone to trial yet, maybe it never will, but you're going to get a lot of fulfillment from doing that with excellence and giving it your all than the attorney who just rolled up to the courthouse or rolled up to a hearing, looked at the file in his car on the way there, and is not prepared. You're going to have a much greater amount of fulfillment from that.
It's fun because you don't really get those TV moments too often in real courtrooms. But you know, like Jason and I both know, some of the most fun you can get is catching somebody on the stand in something that was not said or is not true, and you have the actual evidence to back it up. You know, a lot of times you have to take an answer for what's given. They say something, if there's nothing to check them on, you've just got to delve deeper. Jason's always really good about cross, and I think he enjoys it because that's, we were talking beforehand, he can get a little bit of an attitude. I think we all can, but it's very effective. But when you actually have the paperwork to back it up or the under oath testimony to back it up, it's just, those are the TV moments. There's no, you know, no one in the courtroom stands up and starts screaming, I did it. But it still feels pretty good when the person up there starts stuttering because they know that they've messed up.
Oh, yeah.
And you know where it is that they have, and you have it with you.
Settling a case without going to trial is not necessarily the goal. When a client hires us, we tell them we're doing two things at the same time. We're going to start from day one as if we're going to have a trial on this case, and we're going to prep as if it will be a trial. All along the way, trying to work options out to present to them that would avoid a trial if they don't want it. But we wouldn't be trial lawyers if we didn't like trial. That is the fun part. When the TV moment comes in a trial, it's a lot of fun. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. So being in trial is what we enjoy. There is no part of us that's, we're going to take your case to settle it. It's just giving our clients all the options available to make sure that they have an outcome that they want.
We like to draw lessons from our guests. And one lesson, if you're out there listening, I'm drawing the lesson that you really don't ever want to be on the stand with Tessin and Burris cross-examining you, because they seem like really swell guys, but I get the impression you're not going to have a fun time if you're trying to tell lies on the stand against these fellas. On that note, I love that, you know, you mentioned you have a little attitude that can come up, which you should, because you're passionate about what you're doing at the end of the day is about truth and justice. And so you should be passionate about it. Again, going back to myself and the audience, we've seen movies and we have this TV perception. Where do you find when you're in a courtroom, there's attitude and stuff, but then there's professionalism. How much emotion is generally okay to be showing?
I have a really hard time with this. Because a courtroom is an esteemed place.
Right.
Professionalism is, you know, expected there. Judges are sitting up high. They're wearing robes. Clint is, you know, as far as lawyers in this community, very good at maintaining his composure, not changing tone unless it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Judges don't necessarily like sarcasm out of lawyers. That is where I struggle. If I know you are lying or I know you are trying to hide something and I have put in the work to know that I can prove it or I'm going to be able to show that you are lying, I struggle to maintain or prevent myself from being sarcastic because I know it's coming. I'm about to get you. And sometimes I like to...
No, Jason gets after it. I mean, like,
I like
he's good.
Let them know, like, I'm going to get you and make it more of a I got you moment.
Okay.
That's not always the best tactic, though. You can alienate juries and you can alienate judges if you are too sarcastic or arrogant. So you have to be careful there.
Right.
It's all personal styles. But one of the things that one of my first bosses had always talked about was just being your authentic self.
Mm.
And that's a really important thing because the jurors are just either going to be 6 or 12 people and they're making a judgment call on what are the facts that they're going to accept? You know, what evidence are they thinking is correct? And a lot of what can help with that is having a credible attorney there with you, because even though nothing we say is evidence, the questions, the openings, the closings, nothing the attorneys say is evidence, if you're the most credible person in that courtroom, it does add some weight to the case and it does help your client.
Mm. I love that. And that shines through again in other ways in business. Who you are leads to who you are perceived to be, which influences how people hear you. We're going to pick back up with that after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. Guys. being your authentic self is always, hands down, the thing that's going to pay the most dividends for you. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I am your host, Phil Benelli, here with Clint and Jason of Teston and Burris. Fellas, welcome back to the show. Before, in the prior two sections, which if you're just joining us, welcome. Be sure you go back and listen to those. We were diving into really getting a realistic view of what it's like in a court of law, which has been oh so fun. And I loved hearing that, you know, kind of the balance of your display of personality and emotion and balancing that with professionalism. And I love, I think it was Clint that was telling us about a law school professor he had who emphasized the importance of being yourself. Some folks are going to show a little more emotion. Some folks are going to show less, but you have to be yourself because you're not going to fool the jury or the judge or the witness. You need to just be yourself, who you are, and that is going to make you credible and believable. But it sounds like, Jason, that you also want to balance it. If your authentic self really gets after it to a high level, you just want to make sure you don't seem like a jerk at the end of the day, right? Because you don't want to alienate the jury.
Absolutely. Showing emotion is, there's nothing wrong with that in a trial attorney. It points out, it emphasizes to juries or judges the key points that you're wanting them to. You just don't want to be arrogant, and you don't want to be cocky. Those are not qualities that anybody likes in a person.
Right.
What, you might win a case on what lawyer the jury liked the best.
Right.
They may not know between the defendant or the plaintiff who they necessarily believed, completely opposite stories or facts that aren't necessarily clear. They just unconsciously liked one lawyer over the other. So that's very important.
It happens.
It does. I mean, there was a trial back when I was brand new where the jury hated me and the prosecutor so much because we were new, we were awkward, we were terrible. It was bad. They told us afterwards, because you try to talk to the jurors afterwards if they want to talk to you, you know, what did you think of the trial? How was the presentation? And they told me and him that they just really disliked both of us. And so there was a hung jury because they couldn't make a decision, but some of it seemed to be based on they didn't like our clients, they didn't like us, they didn't like anybody, and they just wanted to get out of there. So, try to do better, but it's been a long time.
Now, on that great, hard lesson to learn, but great, so they didn't like you, do you feel like that was it? You were trying to put on a mask or be something you weren't?
That was one person I was learning from at the time. He was very much the get after it kind of attorney. He was a great lawyer, but he liked to yell. He liked to scream. He liked to really get in there. He would turn red. It was awesome to watch, but it was him. Like, that's who he was.
Uh-huh.
And so he was, because I was new, sitting behind me and basically getting after me to get after them in the same way that he was. And so I would try, and then my ears would just turn red, and I would look like I was super embarrassed because I was, in fact, very embarrassed by what was going on, and it just turned out awkward. So it turns out that I am not able to do that without some reason to do that.
Right.
And, they just didn't think I was – they just didn't think I was being me up there.
Which, what a strength, because you are who you are, and, you know, I don't want to seem lame, but you're special. That's how God made you, is you. And if you get to the point where you're displaying all this emotion, they're really going to feel it because something really had to have gotten you riled up for that to occur. One thing I draw from that, in anything in business, but particularly in sales, like when we're trying to get with a client, impress a client, there can be a tendency to try to put on the mask that you think is going to get you the results that you want, and it never, ever pays. You've got to be yourself, and who you are is good enough, and be you. I know in banking, which I have been a commercial banker for my entire career. I think by the time this airs, I will have retired, which is exciting. But
congrats.
Thank you. You know, you're dealing with these very large financial transactions, and there's a lot going on. And I'm kind of, you know, homegrown, homespun, and I felt the need sometimes to, I don't know, have this different way of speaking. And I just realized people like me being me. I mean, you need to be professional, and we're talking about important things, but I can be kind of my laid back self, and people like that. And if people don't like that, they should work with somebody else because that's who I am. and I can't and don't want to be anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, people can always pick, whether that's in lending, you know, banking, whether that's for their attorneys. If it's not a good match, they can always go somewhere else. But, you know, we just are who we are.
We are who we are. Yep.
I tell clients a lot, one of the key things you need to decide when you're picking a lawyer is who makes you feel comfortable. Mm. There are a lot of great lawyers. Who do you feel comfortable with? Our firm is, you know, when if it's whether it's you've been injured in a car accident, some type of personal injury case, a family law matter, whether that's a divorce or a custody battle, or you've been accused of a crime. While you mentioned earlier, those are very different. They're similar in this. They're all problems. Mm. If you're calling Teston and Burris, we're crisis lawyers. Mm. We're trying to fix a problem for you, and you need to be comfortable mm-hmm. with us. You know, first off, you obviously have to be competent, but you have to be mm-hmm. comfortable that your lawyer has your best interest, and that they're going to serve you, and that you can pick the phone up and call them, mm. and that's what you'll find, that you know, if you're calling us, you're not going through a good situation. Mm-hmm. You're hurt, you're facing charges, or you might be getting a divorce. You just have to be comfortable with lawyers, but they also have to be competent.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good bar.
Well, you shouldn't be comfortable with them if they're not competent.
Right.
And when
some people don't know, but yeah
right.
You shouldn't be.
When you're going through a crisis with anything that you have a professional partner, and whether you're in crisis or not, but whether you're working with an attorney, a CPA, a banker, whatever, correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, but it is crucial that your clients are 100% open and honest. They have to tell you the whole picture. And the whole picture is not going to be pretty, but you need to know what it all is. You're here to serve them. The more they trust and give of information, the better you can do that. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right. If they give us the information, we can typically use that. Even if it's sometimes our clients are having to give us information that's not helpful to their case, but there are ways to either minimize or address those concerns. But us knowing about it allows us to do that. We were talking earlier about people getting caught on the stand when they're being dishonest. You know, it's not like that only happens on our side where it's only good news for us. If the client doesn't necessarily tell us something that could be hugely important, then it can be flipped around a little bit and we can be the ones where our side looks a little dishonest. So, yeah, full information is typically better.
Full information.
I tell clients that from the outset, the initial consultation, just don't lie to me.
Mm-hmm.
I jokingly tell them, I can spin the truth and shed it in a positive light, but I cannot fix a lie.
That's right. And at the bank, you know, we in working with businesses, we used to tell people there's no bad news, there's just bad surprises.
Right.
If there's a big problem with your company and you owe us $20 million, tell us sooner rather than later. Let's come up with a plan. It's just not going to work if you knew this for 4 months and you didn't tell us and then there's a surprise. You don't want to get surprised when your client's on the stand.
No. Yeah.
You can't serve them that way.
You have
way.
A strategy in mind that you're deploying in trial, and something comes out that you were not aware of. It throws it all off. So clients, you know, everybody needs to be honest with their lawyer.
Yes.
Obviously, everything they tell us is confidential, so there's no reason not to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Tell me this. I mean, obviously, and we've talked about preparation is so key. But I would imagine part of the actual live court environment, this has got to be fairly electric for guys like you all, there are surprises. So how important is it to be able to roll with the punches and kind of improvise too?
It's really important. You will be presented with situations no matter what where it is a surprise in trial. And I've told a lot of my clients that that's something that can be very good or something that can be bad, but if we're able to deal with it on the fly, then you're going to spin a lot of that bad into good. And if the other side can't deal with it on the fly very well, then that's going to negatively affect them in a big way. So yeah, being able to roll with the punches is a huge deal, because there will be, and if 20 people are testifying, there's going to be different stories. You're going to have to try to meld it all together. You have to be quick on your feet.
Mm.
It's like think of it like a football game. You spend all week prepping for the game. Coaches have a game plan.
And
but
then
the game never goes because the other side is game planning against you.
Right.
That comes into being prepared, and a lot of experience.
Let's talk about halftime adjustments after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. In the words of the great American philosopher Mike Tyson, everyone's got a great plan until they get punched in the face. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I am your host, Phil Benelli, here with Clint and Jason from Teston and Burris. Welcome back to the show, guys. Right before the break, we were chatting about how it's so key to prepare for trial. And taking that to whatever your business is out there, obviously it's key to prepare. You've got to have a plan. You've got to have a strategy for your year, for your quarter, for your clients. But as we all know, things don't always go according to plan, and you've got to be able to improvise and make those halftime adjustments. With that, you all are, we've talked about how it's key to be prepared. I imagine you must enjoy kind of thinking on your feet, doing things on the fly to handle that, handle those surprises.
Absolutely. You'd never want an attorney that's just shooting from the hip the whole time. But it is fun to shoot from the hip a little bit, and that you have to be able to do that well. And that's the preparation that mm-hmm. we keep emphasizing prior to the trial.
Mm-hmm.
The other side, you have your game plan, you have your trial strategy, but the other side is game planning against you.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be situations where you're going to have to improvise. You're going to have to, be quick on your feet. That comes from two things. One, over-preparedness and experience. You have to have been in that moment.
Yes.
So experience is key. Not that a first trial lawyer, a new lawyer can't do something, but are they going to have that experience? No, you can't. You can't teach experience, and that is key. So you want to think about how long has my lawyer been practicing?
Right.
But obviously, improvision is something that makes a lawyer great. It mm-hmm. sets one apart from, and you'll know if they're not prepared. When those moments come in trial, you'll know that your lawyer wasn't prepared.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd love that you mentioned experience. And I'm a firm, the older I get, when I was younger, I downplayed the importance of experience. And part of that is because I started in commercial banking the month the recession started. And I noticed that a lot of the more experienced bankers, it looked like their experience hurt them because things changed so much and they couldn't adjust. But in retrospect, it was just that their ability to take all their valuable experience and then leverage it to navigate change, they just were not willing to do that. But I'm a firm believer, so many people, they don't do things. They don't start things because they don't know what they're doing. And you've got to start because there's only one way to get experience. You got to go do it, prepare and then start. But then, man, make sure you are learning and you're intentional about gaining from those experiences, because that is what makes you great. When you get something flipped on you and surprises you in court, it's not just that you have experience and you have the knowledge to deal with it, but you have the confidence because you've dealt with surprises before. Sometimes you did well, sometimes you did less well, but you know you're up for it because you've been in that battle. As you're out there battling for your clients, you are doing so locally here in this community. You live in this community, serve in this community. And one thing that I love that you all have been doing is a small business local spotlight. And that goes along with the mission of Business Radio X. Tell us about that.
It's been incredibly enjoyable. We started this in January of this year. We like serving our community. And that doesn't just mean local charities and nonprofits that we're involved in, but supporting local businesses and local nonprofits through highlighting what they do and bringing, kind of advertising for them.
Mm-hmm.
We met earlier this year, we met Monica Guimond at Willow and Bloom Flower Shop, mm-hmm. highlighted her, leading up to February and Valentine's Day. So we were able to spotlight her business. Galetto Bakery, that was fantastic to learn what all they offer. We met their owner. And coming up is, I think it's going to spotlight in April.
Okay.
Is Love Your Story. It's a local nonprofit.
All right.
Owner is Abigail Burrell. I think people are going to be very excited to know what she is doing in the community for her local nonprofit. But we have hired someone to help us do that. Not really.
You've partnered,
with Kaylee, and she's going to talk about that a little bit for us. But her job is really to get us out there to find these people that need to be spotlighted, showcased in this community and what they're doing. And she kind of coordinates that for us. So I'll let her talk a little bit about how we're doing that and what we can offer these local businesses.
Thank you. And Kaylee is here. And I'm so glad that she is, because she's a tremendous lady. Real quick, before you chat more strategy on that, are you all worried at all that these particular local businesses could be bad for your law practice? Because if somebody is getting their wife flowers from this florist and they're getting her chocolate-covered strawberries from Deletto, that divorce work is going to go down. Are you concerned that that's going to impact the overall business there?
Actually, these contacts have been great because the things you just described, I've used them for with my wife.
It. Oh,
so
yes.
So now that I know the places to go, it may or may not affect the business, but it's made my life better going to those.
There
to those
you
businesses.
Go. Thank you to our small businesses for making life better. Kaylee, welcome.
Oh, thanks for letting me say hello.
How did you come up with this? You know, you are helping these great guys to get the word out about their amazing business so they could serve the community, serve their clients better. And so in doing so, there's more to that. There's a better strategy than just saying, we're great attorneys, we're going to win you a case. Tell us how this has worked out and what it's meant to you.
That's exactly right. So I do marketing, and most people know if they're in business, they need marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say, and I've done this for a while, they usually don't know what they're getting into when they try to market their business. So what I've been able to do really well with these guys particularly is just come alongside them and tell their story and show the public how much these guys are true professionals and they actually care for their clients. And I've worked with a lot of businesses, and I'm at the point in my career, I'm blessed to say, that I get to work with the businesses I want to work with now. And it's hard to market businesses that don't care about their people. You cannot teach people to care about other people. So I can get you a presence, I can make you look credible, but at the end of the day, you know, these guys, I mean, you heard them today. They show humility, they're themselves, they're authentic, and they're doing good work in the community, and I feel honored to show everyone what Tustin & Burris does.
That is wonderful. And just like we spoke about earlier, and Clint was talking about that advice from his law professor, I think, was that you've got to be your authentic self. And you cannot be successful without being your authentic self. You, as a marketing professional, you would not be fulfilled, nor would you be as successful trying to promote something that you didn't think was excellent. When you believe in something, it sells itself. It allows you to be passionate. It allows your creative juices to flow because you truly think, and I would agree with you, these fellows are great.
Yes.
I love it. You know, working with Kaylee, I think, would be great. You two, Jason and Clint, seem like pretty calm, cool cucumbers, but I'm sure there's some stressful moments as you're working on a case. I feel like if you picked up the phone and called Kaylee, your stress would melt away. She's pretty chill. She's got a soothing presence.
They might agree with that.
Positive attitude.
Darn
all
right.
I will say, though, they have gone the furthest with me as far as video. So I have a lot of clients that I want to do video with, but they have actually trusted the crazy that I bring to them. And they've done it. And, I mean, we've seen a lot of success, guys. Like, we have gone out into the business. We've met business owners. These businesses are so grateful to be featured. It means so much to them. And you can see, because the interaction, you can see just, you know, tracking it online.
You know, Clint and I don't like the idea of marketing. We understand every business has to do that. But when Kaylee came to us with the idea of a local business spotlight, it's a way we can, you know, we can market our firm, get the firm's name out there, but do it in a way that supports the community and other businesses. And so that made it fun. Nobody likes to say, we're great lawyers, you should hire us. And we never would do that. If that was what marketing was, there would be no marketing. This is fun. It's a way we also feel like, you know, we're building our business, but we're also supporting, you know, the community.
I love that. And just like you two, Clint and Jason, are stronger as a partnership and you make each other better. You two with Kaylee are better as a partnership, and then bringing in all these other businesses. It's a wonderful thing. It makes the community better. And so we're thankful that you all are doing it. welcome or thank you for being on the show. And golly, I hope that I don't need your services, but if I do, I know who to call. And I thank you for the way that you serve your clients in the legal realm with excellence and professionalism and your authentic passion too. So thank you, Clint and Jason and Kaylee, for being on the show.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Bonelli. What local business do you know that should be highlighted on our program? Let us know. Just search North Georgia Business Radio X on Facebook or contact Bo at businessradiox.com. See you next time, and remember to support our local businesses.